Okay, I think we'll start soon. So if everyone is here that's interested. Right. So welcome to the last presentation of this evening called Mobile Agents and the Programming Language TeleScript. My name is Fritz Hohl. I run a rarely updated blog called Rare and Old Computers at the WordPress.com page. And I guess if you are here, then either you don't know what you are expecting or you love obscure topics like this one. So let's see. So what I'm talking about is an outcome of a company called General Magic, which was a company, a startup that existed from the 1990s to 2002, and which tried to popularize an architecture for what they call the Personal Information Communicator, or PIC, which would be roughly equivalent to what we call a PDA today. The focus of this device, in contrast to PDAs maybe, was to encapsulate everything which is needed for communicating with the technology at that time, which means analogous modem communication via landlines, because there was no data GSM at that time, and there was also no widespread use of the internet. So what they did is they provided a reference architecture for the hardware based on a Motorola 68000 chip and an operating system called MagicCap to licensees, which were quite big consumer electronic companies like Motorola, Sony, Matsushita, or Philips. And these companies could then sell their versions of MagicCap devices. And if you haven't seen them already, you can see them tomorrow in the exhibition at Booth 29. However, if this would have been successful, the next step of General Magic should have been the introduction of a completely new computing paradigm supported by a new programming language. Voila, mobile agents. What are mobile agents? Mobile agents, or software mobile agents, as they're also called, is basically a computing paradigm where there are single mobile programs, which are called mobile agents. And these mobile agents can move from computer to computer. And in contrast to, let's say, an applet, also the state of the programs moves. For example, the variables, the program counter, everything which is needed to run a program is moved within the mobile agent. And then the mobile agent arrived at the other computer can communicate locally with the services on this computer. So as a result, conceptually, mobile agent programs are quite normal programs that just contain some move commands. And the next command after this move command is then executed on the target computer. And to visualize this a little bit more, I want to use an example. What we want to do is we want to build a search engine using mobile agents. To that end, we have a search engine on computer A, and we have many local web servers, for example, the one on computer B. So what do? We create a mobile agent on our starting computer. And the task of this mobile agent shall be to produce an index of the contents of the local web servers. So first, this mobile agent will open, or the computer will open a network connection, and then the mobile agent can travel to the target computer, a local web server. And then, arrived at this computer, the mobile agent can get all the contents of the local web server and create an index by computation. Please note that during this computation, no network connection is needed between computer A and computer B. And then, after some time, the agent is sent back together with the result of its computation. And this result is then added to the overall large search engine index of the service at computer A. And thus, you can build a distributed search engine index by sending out many, many mobile agents to local web servers. Now, if you're new in the field, you might immediately ask, what, why, how? And this is quite typical. So we will try to answer some of the questions in the following. For example, why on earth do you want to do that? What are the benefits? And the next question is usually, but isn't that a virus or a worm? Doesn't this raise a lot of security questions? And finally, maybe more technically, how do you do that? Because programming languages, as you know, doesn't support this type of execution where you move a program to another computer and start executing there on a programming language level. So first, the question after the motivation, why do we want to do that? And finally, or not finally, this is already the biggest problem in the entire mobile agent area. And the answer is twofold, and as it will turn out later on, from hindsight now, it's not a very good answer. And it would finally lead to the demise of the entire field of mobile agents, both commercially, but also academically. So the first answer can be found in one of the hype papers from General Magic on mobile agents and Telescript from 1993. And it states that there's a mismatch between two things. The first thing is that services information on the web are made for interactions by humans. It's easy for a human to read a web page, to fill out forms, and to interact with the computer. But what we would need, and this is the second side, is that we have a similar interface to a program which can use a service on a computer. For example, you want to offer a new service that can both reserve a ticket for a theater play and reserve a table in a restaurant after the theater play. And what you would do nowadays is you would write some code that by and large simulates the human reading the web page and filling out web forms. You, of course, call it a crawler or a spider, and you take into account the HTML code you see, and you try to fill out some forms. But by and large, you simulate a human. You need to have separate code for the different reservation systems. Most probably, the theater system uses a different reservation system than the restaurant, so you need different of these code snippets. And you need to adapt this code every time a reservation system changes any detail on the web page. If they just reformat the web page, your crawler is not running anymore, and you have to adapt this. So what would be much better is if there would be an infrastructure for programs to use services in an automated way without a programmer having to look into how the service actually works. So the solution, according to the web white paper, is a mobile agent infrastructure that provides standard ways for providers to provide services, so programs can use them, and for client programs to use this service's information. And also maybe for a third party, for a mediator, so client programs and providers can find each other, maybe using some selection criteria. And the problem statement was, and basically still is, valid. There is no real common infrastructure and marketplace for programs to interact. Of course, nowadays you have things like XML, but it's a quite low level of data description. Still, it's very hard to semantically describe a service that a program can find automatically a service, find out how to use it, and then use it automatically. There were always research approaches, so if you tell me, but now I know of a research project that exactly tries to do that, that's very true, but that's very true within 30 years. So it's true, this is a problem, and maybe it could be solved using a mobile agent infrastructure. However, it's very questionable whether a mobile agent system is the only way to solve this problem. And it's maybe not so much a technical problem, although this is not a small problem, but it's maybe more an organizational problem relating to the market power of the organization or company that tries to establish such a standard. And of course, the hope for General Magic was that they would be the company that exactly can do that. This was the first answer, establishing an infrastructure for mobile program usage. The second answer, and this was always more the academic approach, was to try to find technical advantages in the system. And the first advantage I called inherent asynchronicity. What this means is that what we have seen before, during the mobile agent works at the target computer, there is no network connection needed at the starting computer. And this, of course, was very appropriate for the scenario where they had their communicators, in where you communicate only by landline from time to time. So what you could do is you could send out your reservation agent when you were connected, you go offline, go into your plane, and when you arrive at the other city, you plug in again, and your agent comes back with the results. And this is really an advantage. The point is, as I said, this scenario is valid in any circumstance where you have no permanent, which was the case, or unreliable or expensive communication, or when communication power shall be saved. The second advantage was that one argued that this overall might save network traffic. Like in our example of the search engine, the hope was that as the search index was hoped to be smaller than the web pages, all in all, less data communication would happen in this scenario than if you would client-server-wise get the content of every web server as it's done even today. But in fact, there are not so many scenarios where this is really true. Even in our search engine scenario, we find that the search index often is larger than the indexed web pages. So, these were the two basic technical advantages that were always targeted. And then, of course, next question was, but what about security? And I'm very glad that you asked, if you didn't ask, because my PhD thesis was on exactly that topic. So, by and large, there are two big aspects regarding this topic. One is the security of the computer from attacks by the executed mobile agent program. This is, by and large, the same problem as if you execute Java programs on your browser. You have to sandbox the agent, and if you do it perfectly, it's a good solution. Also, we know that a perfect sandbox is probably not achievable. But this tries to answer the question whether a mobile agent is a virus or a worm. Mobile agents cannot travel to any computer just because it's a computer. They need a special environment there that is able to execute a mobile agent. So with installing this environment and by allowing clients from a certain target, by and large, the operator of the computer allows these mobile agents to be there, and a mobile agent cannot come to any computer which is not fitted with the corresponding environment. The second aspect is the security of the reverse side, the security of the mobile agent program from attacks by the executing computer. Now you might want to ask, why is this a problem? But if you imagine that you have a buying agent maybe carrying even digital money with it, you can imagine that you don't want that the attacking computer, the executing computer, can read out the value of the electronic money. You don't want that the decision logic whether to buy something or not is tampered with by the computer that executes the mobile agent. And this is an aspect which does not appear in nowadays computing. It's a quite hard problem. And to my knowledge, it's only partially solved today. And partially solved means either for certain cases or by and large only theoretically, but not practically. So these are the two aspects of security. The first aspect, by and large, is the same as we have before, and the second one was never really solved to a successful end. Now, if you want to know how you do that technically, then the only aspect, by and large, that's new is this movement aspect. So when you call the move command, the state of the program needs to be externalized using serialization or anything like it, depending on how is it called in your language. And then at the other end, the computer program needs to be executed at the last point of execution before. And this, of course, is very difficult in an unmodified runtime environment nowadays, because there is no need for starting a program at an arbitrary line somewhere in the program. So what you do sometimes, instead of doing that, you have the usual framework of callable procedures that you call when certain events occur, like when the agent arrives at the other computer or when the agent shall be stopped there. And if you use this shortcut, then the move command is the last line to be executed in this procedure. And because the next line to be executed will be the start procedure somewhere else. So, and apart from that, everything can be used as libraries as before. Of course, another possibility instead of using this shortcut is to design a new programming language that offers all these needed elements for mobile agents directly at the programming level and also offers some sort of transparent movement to the programmer. And this is exactly what General Magic did with a language called TeleScript. And let's now talk about TeleScript. So the concepts of TeleScript are quite simple. There are three main concepts. They just have funny names. You still have your mobile agents. And then the computers are not called computers anymore, but places, in order to have this movement paradigm. And the move is called a go. So what agents do is they go to places, they interact with other agents, which are maybe the local services on the computer, to get work done on a user's behalf. And in order to satisfy security needs, they cannot do it simply like that, but they have to get tickets which show their allowance to do certain things, and they get these tickets from the user and from other resources. In order to use resources, because of course the agent is using compute time and memory on the target computer, the agents need permits, which can be restricted, for example, by the executing computer. And these tickets and permits are created by so-called authorities, which is a person or a company that is able to, for example, execute the agent or is able to start the agent. And in order to have two agents interact, they can use a concept called a meeting. So it's quite comic-wise, also concept-wise, and if you look at the GUI, it's equally comic-wise. So let's go to the description of the language. It's by and large from 1995. It's an object-oriented, strongly typed programming language. And this language is something like High TeleScript, which would be something like Java today. But it's compiled into an interpreted bytecode, which Java bytecode today, which is called Low TeleScript. And directly on the programming level, it supports multithreading, object persistency, should be a C, process synchronization, resource control, and automatic memory management. And this is an excerpt from the official description of TeleScript. So the language is implemented by a TeleScript engine, which is able to interpret this low TeleScript bytecode. It's a multitasking interpreter that integrates into an operating system through a programming interface called a TeleScript API. And by and large, the TeleScript engine runs on a server. Now, let's go briefly through an example, and don't worry, you don't have to read it on this part. I just want to show the program completely before I go to the single modules. And this, the program is taken from the corresponding Wikipedia page, and what it should do is it should provide an agent that buys some pie and an agent that sells some pie. So let's go first to the pie buyer agent. As you can see, it's quite intuitive. It says, okay, this is of a type agent. Then you go into the procedures. Here you have a standard startup procedure. It says it's sponsored, so it needs some tickets. And when it started, it tries first to move to the target computer. How it finds the target computer is not described in this program, so this is by and large the task of this ticket given to this mobile agent. So this is the move command, and the next command is executed then on the target computer, and here we find or we try to find an agent that is able to sell pies at the target place, and then we call the sell pie procedure of this agent, not a mobile agent but a stationary agent. And after we have done this, we move back, we go back to the original computer, the original place. So quite a simple program, but of course much of the complexity is here, especially the controls and the permits are hidden here from this small piece of code. If we look at the other end, the pie seller, the stationary agent, in this case it's even a place, it has the sell pie procedure that's called by the mobile agent. And it first declares a variable, a pie, and it states it's either of the class pie or it's nil. And it tries to get a pie from the stock, however an electronic pie looks like. And if this, this is not the case, so if there is no pie from stock, then what you would try to do in this implementation, maybe it's not the best implementation away, is to send out a mobile agent to buy a pie elsewhere in order to sell it to the mobile agent who asked for the pie. So you create a pie buyer agent, you give it some tickets and permits, and you wait for the agent to return. And if the agent returns, it has a pie object with it, and you return this pie object to the buying mobile agent. So apart from technical advantages and from this infrastructure argument, I think also one of the big advantages is that mobile agents are some sort of software robot models which a programmer can easily imagine. And the mobile agent topic was very popular amongst computer scientists, because the idea of being able to command a software robot in a network was very appealing to these people, for example, to me. So in order to program such TeleScript, you could use two different versions of tools from General Magic. The first one was some sort of develop tool which allowed you to write, test, and deploy mobile agents. So it had the TeleScript engine there, it had some sort of web class library, so agents could be used like Java programs, for example. It had an environment with a source level debugging, class browsers, compilers, and so on and so forth, sample code, and online documentation. And in order to actually run a TeleScript server, you could use the other tool, which was the Agentware, which had the execution environment and the components in order to manage all this service. The system was never really sold, but I read once, I'm not sure whether this was really true, that they imagined that they could ask like $5,000 for every Agentware implementation, and this basically was for free. And just in order to amuse you, not to bore you, this would have been the original system requirements for this tool. So you see it's aged a lot, so you would need some Unix machine like a Hewlett-Packard or a Spark Station or an Indigo, using very specific versions and very specific versions of C and C++, and then a minimum of some RAM, some agent, some free disk space, a certain Perl version, and then of course what you had at the day, color X terminals or black and white X terminals, a text editor, and also some external, some compilers for C and C++ if you want to develop external processes. So what happened to all of this TaylorScript and mobile agent topic? Well, when we look at TaylorScript, of course, we see that the general metrics approach of these mobile communication devices was, in the end, too late, not good enough in the beginning, and too expensive. So when we set it in context to the Apple Newton, which appeared in 93-94, which was able to do handwriting recognition, and we see the first Magic Cap device without handwriting recognition in 94, and you see that GSM started to have 10 million subscribers in 95, thus also having the start of the mobile data communication, then you see that by and large it was too late on the market. As a consequence, General Magic never developed the market power to set the standard for the mobile services world. And of course, because of the missing success of the company basically went bust. General Magic never launched the commercial agent infrastructure, and therefore also TaylorScript was developed completely, and also some parts of the execution environment was contained in the devices, at least in the first versions, but it was never really used commercially. It should have been used at some point, but it really never was. Apart from the commercial world, you have also the academic world, which find, as I said, mobile agents very appealing. And the problem was that we always looked for technical advantages, but we had always problems finding killer applications where this really made sense technically. So by and large, it ended up as a solution without a problem from a technical point of view. It was an hot topic in a research community from like 95 to 2000, but I'd say today it's by and large dead. So to conclude the talk, mobile agents is a computing paradigm where a program moves to a specially equipped server and interacts there with services on the server locally. General Magic developed a proprietary programming language to support this paradigm, and this language was called TaylorScript, as General Magic had no commercial success and TaylorScript was never really used. And mobile agents are regarded today, by and large, as a solution without a problem. If you are interested in this topic, I can hint you to the, by and large, General Magic homepage, which still exists today. I think it's not updated like 1998, but it exists. Also, a quite nice article in Wikipedia on TaylorScript with the programming example that we saw, and also explaining much more in detail the features of the language if you are interested in security aspect, and if you are able to understand German, I happily link you to my PhD thesis. And I also tried to find a list, or made a list, of all official TaylorScript documents, and you find the URLs there on the back. These are the four white papers that describe by and large the concepts of TaylorScript, of mobile agents, and what General Magic hoped to use them for, and the others are by and large reference manuals. Also, there was something in 94 called TaylorScript University. This was by and large an early tutorial held at the General Magic premises in the US on how to program TaylorScript. And I have the folder with the paper copies of the slides. So what I want to do is to digitize these copies and put them on my blog, which you hopefully will visit at some day. And these are the documents that would be available from this point on. Thank you very much. Questions? No? Great. Ah, that's one.
Was there ever any idea about using this on end-user desktops, like paying applications?
Can you repeat the question?
Thank
you.
Of course. Was there any ideas about using this on end-user desktop applications, like enable users to take applications from desktop computers to mobile devices and things like this?
Depends a little bit. If you consider the desktop to be a server, then of course it was part of the picture. If you would consider the desktop computer as a client, the question would have been whether there's a permanent connection of the desktop computer to network or not. If there would be one, maybe all this stuff would not be needed. If there wasn't one and you had to connect every time via analog modem, maybe it would have been the same case as a mobile device. Next question. Oh, sorry, you just moved the mic.
So I was just wondering, you have a couple of great devices with Magic Cap on display here. So how useful were the devices that came with the operating system without the Telescript really ever coming into operation? Were they just useless, or was that just one part and there were other parts which people could actually use without Telescript?
It was actually the other way around. The devices that you see there basically didn't use any Telescript service at the time. So they had some basically dead code in the ROM for starting mobile agents, but there was no real application using mobile agent at that time. So what you see in the exhibition at the table never used in a Telescript agent. This would have been the next step. As soon as there would have been an infrastructure where these mobile agents would have been used. And if there are no more questions, thank you very much.